So we're going to start this week with another little sound clip. We did one last week from Roquan Smith. This is not a Ravens player. This is Malcolm Jenkins. People may remember, played for the Saints for a long time, played for the Eagles. I think he even had a little cup of coffee with Detroit towards the very end of his career. He's retired, wrote a book, doing the book tour thing, was on the Green Light podcast with, I'm blanking on his name now, Chris Long, Howie Long's kid, and had this little comment about defense, particularly when he was playing for Jim Schwartz, but kind of a generic thing. But anyway, let me roll it.
Very simple. What that allowed guys to do was, you know, this corner, this left corner has the same job every time. The right corner has the same job every time. The nickel, same job every time. And then the only three players that really have adjustments were like the free safety, strong safety, and linebacker. And that allowed me to say, you know, so that's my role. Okay, I look at the formation. Where's the offense trying to attack us, right? So are they, if it's three receivers to one side, I know they're trying to get a receiver on the mic. I can switch with the mic.
Yeah.
And it's a very simple switch. Or they put a back that they've got that they want to create a one-on-one on the backside. Well, okay, me and the mic will switch. Yeah. And this now is just like there's nothing you can do to put us in a bad position besides throw to the corner who already knows which routes you're going to try to hit them with and vice versa. That made us play so much faster, even if we didn't have, like, you know, a guy who could lock you down all day. We at least knew what we were doing. We knew the weaknesses of what we were doing and how you had to attack us. And so we just meet you there. And I think that was to me like one of the best things you can do as a coach is create a defense that is tailored to the players in it and then make it simple so they don't even have to think of the scheme. They're only thinking about the offense and what's coming.
And I wanted to play that because it's something you've been saying since the very start of this show a couple of years back. And I think it's something that we've seen mostly from Mike McDonald. And, you know, since he took over last year as DC, and we certainly have seen it carry over throughout last year, even into this year. And it's crazy how something that's just so simple is so effective, but we've seen it play out that way. And it just made me think about that when I heard it today. And I was like, oh, I gotta put this on the podcast. This is what Denard has been talking about for 3 years on the pod, probably for longer than that. but on the pod, we've been talking about it for 3 years.
I believe in the notion you keep it simple, stupid. And just like Malcolm Jenkins talked about, is the fact that when the defense knows what they're doing, and they know what everybody else is doing, and it's simple. Guys can fly around like maniacs. Absolute, unabridged maniacs. Why? Because you know your defense. You know the holes. You know the good parts. You know the bad parts. And us as coordinators are trying 100% of the time to not put you in a bad situation. But we also know that we can't always keep you out of bad situations. So if your defense knows your calls, knows how it plays, they are aware that if a situation pops up, they can address it with ease and just get it on the ground and move it, you know, to the next down and not feel frustrated or anything of the sort. It's just they explore the weakness. Okay, they're not going to do it again because we're going to try something else.
Yep.
And that's I feel like it's what Mike McDonald does in a very unique way is he plays to his strengths. He plays to his D-line and his linebackers right now. And once his secondary gets a little more healthy, mainly, you know, Humphrey gets enough snaps and, he's got his legs back underneath him. This defense is going to be up there with San Francisco. And teams are going to play them differently. And I think if you think about years in the past, teams played us differently because the way our defense was just blitz heavy ridiculousness. They played not to turn the ball over and eventually they win the football game because eventually you're going to catch the defense in a bad spot if they're blitzing 90% of the time. So I just think that keeping it simple, especially on defense, just it just works better for those guys because they can use their athletic ability to their advantage.
Yeah, and you mentioned San Francisco. I think they're either, if they're not tied with San Francisco, San Francisco is right ahead of them in terms of points allowed. I think the Ravens are second in points allowed. We were just talking about it before we started recording. They've only given up 4 offensive touchdowns through 5 games. I think they're giving up like 15 points a game, something like that. So they're right there near the top of the league in points. And, you know, I know there's other defensive statistics or whatever, but I always look at points. Like this, points and turnovers, pretty much the only two that matter to me. So I look at those two and I'm like, hey, if you're keeping people from scoring and you're taking the ball away, I'll take that. There's all the other stuff you can look at, and that's fine. You know, yards per play allowed and all that. I'm not saying that stuff's not good to look at, but for me, it's points and turnovers. And I don't know. I didn't look at where they are in turnovers. I think they might be more like middle of the roadish in turnovers.
Yeah. You know, they're not getting a lot of fumbles, but they're okay on interceptions.
Yeah. They're doing a lot of fumbles on offense.
Yeah, sure. It seems like it just changed size of the ball this year. If I was an offensive coach, I've been on that side of the ball as a player, and I'm sorry, that ball hits the ground. I know in high school sometimes they can get a little wonky, like 6-7 turnovers, and you somehow still win the game by like 30 points. You know, those things happen. It happened in college too, but in the pros, 1 or 2, two is a wrap. One, yeah, you're playing with fire.
Yeah, yeah. You can sometimes get away with 1. 2, like you said, you're playing with fire. Anything more than that, just forget about it. But, yeah, it's just teams are too good at that level to keep giving them opportunities. Even an offense that's struggling, like Pittsburgh's offense had been struggling kind of coming into this game. But if you give them opportunities, you know, they're going to find something. You know what I mean? Something they say, even a broken clock is right 2 times a day. So they go figure something out if you keep giving them opportunities. And, you know, it was reminiscent of the Colts games in the way that even when the Ravens were making mistakes, they still were finding ways to have an opportunity to win the game. Like even despite the drops, even despite the fumble, before the last fumble of the game, obviously. I mean, that was at the very end of the game. Nothing you can do about that. But the ones prior to that, you know, they create a fumble of their own on special teams, right? And recover that ball down there. And you think, okay, despite everything that has led up to this point, they're going to go down here now. They're on the 7. They're going to get 6, and they're going to close this game out. Despite all the craziness, they're going to take care of this one. And then, you know, they throw a pick down here. So it's just one of those things, man, where it's like you can't keep giving these other teams opportunities because you can come into the game. I'm not saying they think that way, but I know a lot of times as fans, we think that way. Like, oh, Pittsburgh, they just got blew out by the Texans. The offensive coordinator, you know, people trying to run him out of town. The quarterback, you know, got a knee injury, you know, all of that stuff. You keep giving them chances, it just don't matter.
It don't matter.
They're gonna find a way.
Yeah. And if you've played the game before, and once the Zay drop happened, and then the Bateman happened, I turned the game off.
You'd seen enough.
I've seen that chapter in this book so many times with the Ravens. It's just but as a player too, it's just like, it doesn't matter what you do. You're trying your hardest to get out of it. You're trying to make plays. You're trying to do this. And it's just like, nope, not today. Not today, Isis. That's it. You're just going to take this punishment because you need it.
Hey, I hung around until the 4th quarter, and then we went out to a pumpkin patch. So I didn't see the 4th quarter until I went back and watched the coach's film. But I was feeling that same way. Early in the game, I was feeling that way. I was like, oh man, this ain't headed nowhere good. But something before we get into the position by position, because that's what we normally do. And there's some good stuff to talk about there. Something you mentioned to me in our little group chat about being overcoached and overprepared. I thought it'd be interesting for you to kind of share that with folks so you could, because I hadn't thought about that. And I was like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense when you explain it.
Say that one more time.
About remember the thing you told me about them being overcoached and over how that can happen sometimes, overcoached, overprepared.
This, I don't think a lot of people understand this idea. You can prepare, you can coach. I mean, I'm sure people have said and been aware of being overcoached, because we've seen those instances, yeah, where you situations like, perfect example was the fourth down play. He didn't have to do all that.
No, we didn't.
No, you didn't have to get to the line of scrimmage. You didn't have to do none of that. You know you're kicking a field goal. Why are you trying? It's fourth and two. I get that. But still, take the points. You saw how your team played in that first half. Like, you needed to get the 13 points and get back into, you know, halftime with something positive.
Yeah.
That's an over-coaching moment, to just kind of help. Now, when you are overprepared, it's what happened when you were talking about it, when Javavian Clowney is dropping in the middle of the fourth quarter, where you need your best pass rusher. You probably saw something on film. They gave you the formation, and you went to an exact play. Instead of stepping back for a second and realizing the situation and say, okay, maybe we don't need to overprepare for this, because they, you know what's going to happen on the other side. They're just going to dump it to the running back. Mm-hmm. So why are we giving them that option? Because that's what they've been doing the whole second half, was just dinking and dunking, because they knew they couldn't push the field unless it was Pickens. They didn't have their tight end. So you're giving them free yards. So that's what I mean by being overprepared. You needed to – that was one of those situations where you needed to completely adjust your game plan in the second half, and basically said, after that first drive when they were just dinking and dunking and throwing it to the running back, okay, no more zone blitzes, because that's all they're doing.
Yeah.
And we and it just didn't go off of the game plan where it needed to be veered off at that point.
Gotcha. Yeah, I thought it was an interesting point, so I wanted you to share that so folks could hear it, because not something that the second – the other part of that is not the part that I think we often think about, the overprepare part. Like you said, we've all, you know, seen examples of overcoaching and have even heard players talk about that. Like, sometimes you just got to let players play, or sometimes you got to overcome coaching sometimes.
Yeah.
So we know that, but the over prepared part is something that I don't really often think about, but you could really see it on that play, because it was like, we're doing the most right now. We don't have to do the most.
They didn't do anything in the first half. So why are all of a sudden we in pressure packages bringing zone blitzes in the second half? They didn't do anything with a four-man rush in the first half.
No, we approaching this like we getting carved up, and we got to come up with something to change up the, you know, change the picture up on the QB. He ain't been doing nothing.
He didn't do nothing. You're just giving him free pictures.
Yeah, so we don't have to do that. But again, I want to – so we'll do it this way. By going through the positions, I think it'll kind of take us there, because I don't want to give the impression that there's a whole lot to be critical of about the defense, because I don't really think that there is. I think that they continue to play extremely well, gave up one offensive touchdown. I mean, granted, it was eventually the game winner. It ultimately became the game winner. So, you know, I'm not trying to belittle that or diminish that. You don't, it's like what John Thompson used to say, don't tell me about what you did, tell me about when you did it. Yeah. So when it happened, not great, right? You can say it was only one, but it was the one that ultimately became the game winner. So I'm not trying to diminish that, but they've given up 4 and 5 games. Another solid performance really throughout three quarters of this game, right?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh had only had 3 points till you got to the fourth quarter. And then, you know, kind of had some stuff happen there, but we'll go through it, like I said. So we'll start up front with the defensive line. And I just so I don't forget, because I had it jotted down, because he kept flashing to me. Mike Pierce, shout out to you, man, in this game, because you were working in this game. It was like he was trying to kind of let the other guys know on the defensive line, the younger guy, hey, this is how you play in Ravens Steelers. This is the tone.
Yes, this is how you set the tone. This is how you become a battering ram. And everybody followed suit. Everybody was twisting and straight rushing. And there was a lot of incidental pressure. Just guys just crossing his face. And that's what you need to do with a lot of these quarterbacks nowadays, because the three-step drop or the quick drop out of the gun, you're not getting there. But if you're showing color in front of their face, that extra hesitation is going to be big time. And I mean, Brett Urban came to play. Clowney wasn't as disruptive, but he was still doing his thing because he was freeing up everybody else to do things. Matabike was running free. I still want them to tighten up a little bit on the run, but that's coming. Mm-hmm. They're going to get tested this week. You're going to see a lot of Mr. Harrison. You're going to see a lot of 3-4 this week, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to see a flashback. You're going to see some straight zone left, zone right. Are you able to keep your lane integrity this week?
Yeah.
Because last week they against Pittsburgh, there were some lapses here and there. You can't have them against Mr. Henry.
No. And they know
he's going to dribble someone off the ground and then hit his head on the goalpost.
Yeah. And they know it. Just go back and watch any of the Titans games the last few years. They know exactly. Well, the guys that have been here know exactly what they're up against. McDonald hasn't. He wasn't DC. Yeah, they didn't play the Titans last year. So he has not. Well, I mean, back in the day, you know, when he was linebacker coach or whatever.
He was there for the 2020 debacle.
Yeah, yeah. So he, not that he hadn't seen it. He just wasn't the play caller. So he's been around. He's seen it. But yeah, Henry, we all know too well. Like, you can bottle him up for a little while, and then it's 70 to the house.
Yeah.
If somebody is not where they're supposed to be, or even if you are where you're supposed to be, and he stiff arms you into the
dribble you off the field
below into the roots.
Do you notice how many people's heads, the bodies are just bouncing off the ground when they get stiff armed these days? Like, you didn't see that in the past. People just poof.
Yeah, it's getting, like you said, they're getting dribbled. They're getting that crab dribble off the grass. It's been brutal. But yeah, those guys up front, man, pretty solid job overall. Like I said, Mike Pierce showed out to me just because doing his thing in the run game, even had a couple pass rush, you know, where he was wearing their center out. Anytime he got one-on-one with their center, it was not a good day for Pittsburgh center. So that's what he's always done. And when he's at his best, that's what he does. So it's good to see him back and healthy again and looking like his old self this year. And then of course the other guys are coming along. Travis Jones, you know, still coming along. You know what I'm saying? You're starting to see the flashes again. You know, he kind of gotten quiet a little bit there.
He had to find his niche again because Pierce is back. So he's not getting as many reps.
Yep. And so Matt BK, Washington, like you said, they've been pretty solid throughout. Clowney and Van Noy, you know, kind of still finding his role and, you know, the things that he's good at. And you can see it. Those guys, those two, man, it's such just they little just stuff. They
understand football.
They do. They do. It's just little stuff. They just understand the stuff. You can see a play early on where I want to say it was Clowney. Van Noy wasn't in the game. It was a run play. It was Clowney, and I think it was Harrison on the other side of him.
Yep.
And the tight end traded. You can see after the play, he was like, hey, you got to tell me that the Y is – he looked at Harrison like after the play, like, hey, you got to tell me that the Y is over there. Because he came back and hit that little slice block on Clowney. And Clowney, it was like he didn't expect it.
Right.
I think he was communicating to Harrison after the play, like, because you see them do that all the time. They're letting the other side know who's got the Y.
Yep.
So he's like, you got to talk, bro. You got to let me know that dude is over there.
I did see Harrison's head flip to the sideline because somebody else says I'm due.
Yeah. Just talk. And, you know, that's those guys just understand it. You see it with Van Noy and rushes. You talk about some of the games and the twists that they're doing aside. Some of that stuff, I don't know that it's called. I think he might just be reading some of that stuff out because he's going over. It's not just one gap. He's going two, sometimes three. I think he's just like, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing this. And so I'm going to go. Cool. I mean, we saw it for years with the other vets that they've had here in the past. They see it. They had the freedom to do it. I mean, you got to be right, but you know, they had the freedom to do it because they was right more than they were wrong. So another solid job for those guys up front. Same thing with this next group, inside linebackers. No change. We really ain't seen no change in them throughout.
Queen is just a different human being right now. There was that one play he understood down, distance, and priority. That man didn't leave more than 2.5 yards from the line of scrimmage and understood what play was coming. He didn't even wait for the hole to develop. He just got skinny and made the play.
And just shut it down.
Just shut it down.
Just shut it down.
Just shut it down. Like, that's just awareness. And it's like the Matrix. Morpheus looks at Neo and in the screen, he's like, he's the one. It's like that. Yeah. Like he's understands everything around him now. Everything is slowed down. He can see plays before they happen. And he's not. When's the last time you've seen him overrun something? Not this year.
Ain't nothing coming to my mind.
I'm not even talking about a missed tackle because I don't even think he's missed. Has he missed one?
Maybe one. It's not maybe been one. Before we could rattle off a list.
<You'd have played. laughs>
Yeah. But we haven't seen that now. But no, you're right. It's exactly like the Matrix. It's like the first time that he saw it, you could see it. He was like, oh. It's like he sees it.
It's like his soul is real.
And he's just like, oh. So he's still moving tremendously fast, but I think the way that he's processing it has slowed down. And so he's seeing it very cleanly and he's just going, you know. And that's what we used to always say about him. If he will just go, right? Just go. Yeah. You're gonna make a bunch of plays, and that's what he has continued to do. I mean, he's making plays in coverage. Making plays in the run game.
They don't even count him in coverage anymore.
Gets him in the that was the game plan. Attack him, find him,
isolate him on a running back. Whatever you need to isolate on him, do that. And he had that one bad, and that guy kind of pushed him again in the Colts game. So I'm not going to be like, critical of that one. He gave him a little hip push. But other than that, that's. Now, when they play San Francisco, oh man, they're gonna test that.
That's a different thing. Well, because they use that guy to test everybody. That's just who he is. He's gonna test everybody. He doesn't care how good you are.
No,
that's what they're gonna do with him. So that's to be expected. But
I'm excited. Yeah, if I could get tickets to that game and watch that one up close and personal.
Yeah. Because that's two juggernauts going at it right there. But yeah, we used to see games where that was part of the game plan on offense, a big part of the game plan. Yeah. So let's isolate Patrick Queen. Because at the time, you still had a healthy Humphrey. You still had, you know, Peters playing at a legit level. Mm-hmm. You really didn't want to mess with guys in the secondary. Mm-hmm. So they said, let's go get these linebackers. Where are these dudes out all day? Because you had him, like, I mean, he was everywhere. He was running everywhere.
Oh, my God. He's chicken with his head cut off.
Yeah, he was running everywhere now. But now between him and Rowe, you don't really want to mess with either one of those dudes in the middle of the field. Unless you got a legit like matchup where you're like, hey, we really think our guy can win this matchup.
I'm thinking next week there's not a tight end. Do they still have a tight end?
Tennessee, they got the dude from Maryland, Cheeg. I can't pronounce Cheeg's last name, but he came out of Maryland last year, I think. But that's about it. I mean, you think about their wide receivers. I know Burks has been out for a while. I don't know if he's going to be back.
He's still out. He didn't practice.
Hopkins is there, and Hopkins has been, you know, he's been decent. He's been making some plays in recent games. So, you know, you know who he is.
He's going to be matched up with Humphrey the whole time, and that's physical on physical.
Yeah.
That's a push.
You know who he is. But the thing that I think I've seen, just taking a quick look at him the last couple games, is their quarterback, and because I think it takes a while. If you've never played with a guy like Hopkins at wide receiver, it takes quarterbacks a while to get comfortable with just throw him the ball. Like, I know that's not the look that you would normally say that's telling me to throw him the ball, but throw him the ball because he'll catch it. So I think it takes guys a while to realize, like, hey, he's not open. That's not what open looks like with other guys that I've had. This ain't AJ Brown. This is what it's looked like in the back.
This is Antoine Bolden.
But he's open. Yeah, but he's open. Just throw it to him.
Just throw it in his vicinity. He's coming down with 75% of them.
He will catch the ball. And I think Tannehill is starting to get used to that. And that's a little bit scary because, you know, you're gonna have to deal with that. But like you said, that's gonna be physical against physical. Humphrey another week under his belt, you know, got his first game, you know, back. Mm-hmm. So got a feel for game speed, getting his game, you know, getting his legs under him and stuff. So that'll be a good matchup for sure. So yeah, linebacker, another solid week. Rowe continues to do everything that he does. No drop off from either guy. Secondary, you know, continue to kind of mix and match a little bit. One thing I was surprised, Yassin didn't play at all in this game. That rotation, it was just Darby and Humphrey. Of course, Stevens, he went the whole way on the other side. And that's something you're not really even seeing too much now. I mean, they had him on Pickens a couple times, but, you know, for the most part, the one thing I'll say about Stevens is he's not going to give too much up over the top. Nope. You'll get some stuff underneath on him, but he'll come up and tackle you. But he's not going to give up too much under the top. But people aren't really going after him the way you would expect them to, in my opinion. Like, I'd expect him, like, to.
They're seeing it on film. He's not giving space.
Yeah.
There's very little space right now.
Yeah, so he's still doing a solid job. I mean, Pickens, the one thing you got to realize about Pickens is he's got a superpower. He's got a trump card, and it's at the catch point. He is dominant at the catch point. This is sort of like we were talking about football. Sort of like we were talking about with Hopkins. He's maybe not that same level of physical yet, but when it's contested and it's me and it's you, he's going to come down with the ball more often than not. He may not necessarily be like the quickest dude or like the shiftiest dude, but when it's one-on-one, he's going to come down with the ball more often than not.
He was taught at a very young age, that's your football, boy.
Yeah.
Wow. But when it's in the air, it's yours. I don't care where is it on the field, how it was thrown. You better come down with it.
And, you know, I didn't find out till today that he went to the same high school as Humphrey. So that was Hoover on Hoover crime. So that last play. Hoover crime. Yeah, I did not realize that. Now, the thing I wanted to ask you about, because like I said, I think overall secondary play, okay. I mean, yeah, you had that play there. And, of course, Pickens got off on a couple plays. But like I said, he's got a trump card. And you just have to, you know that about him. Marcus Williams. It looked pretty rough. I understand his first game back in a while, but he seemed to really be favoring that arm, like almost couldn't use it type of favoring.
Right.
And I'm just hoping that kind of range of motion will increase, like get better
mm-hmm.
as he plays more. What do you think? Do you think he's in that territory of, hey, he just needs more time? Or do you think it's maybe on the other side of, he might be doing more harm to himself than good? After one game, it's hard to say.
But here's
he was
where
just throwing shoulders all game. throwing shoulders.
Here's where you have to trust the player as the coach. Like, as a coach, I would be like, I'm going to give him 3 weeks.
Okay.
First week, you're trying to figure out, like, how can I be helpful to the team, even though I'm not at, you know, where I want to be. So he probably played, you know, a yard or two deeper, just, you know, just some out of the spite of caution, in a sense. Like, I don't know what this shoulder's going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I saw him one time try to throw it in there, and he, like, immediately kind of ducked and turned and rolled to protect it. I think Harbaugh said today that it's more about pain management. So I think that gets better over time, because then they can say, how did that pain medicine work in that game? Well, that didn't work. Okay, let's try this week by doing some stem stuff and throw you in, you know, in a maybe a cryovac or something like that, just to prepare you differently. So it's going to be a lot of guess and test to see where he can, you know, tolerate it and use it a little bit more. They made him change the harness and just keep his arm instead of how free it was this week. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll put some straps underneath your kind of your bicep just to keep it close to your shoulder, you know, to your chest.
Okay.
So even if you raise it, it won't, you know, go too far.
Yeah.
So he's probably tampering with some stuff, different type of braces, and figure it out. You know, this week is probably a good week because they're in the UK, and there's some stuff in the UK that he probably can't get here in the US. They might try while he's over there, and he might have a game of his life in Tennessee. Against Tennessee and in London. So I think it's just you have to see after 3 weeks. And when is their bye week?
Oh, that's a good question. I have to look it up. I think it's a little bit later this year because I know they still got Arizona and Detroit after they come back from London. Let's see. It is week 13. So it's a little bit down the road. They still got, including Tennessee, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more games. They play at the Chargers right before their bye week.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it's all about pain management. He'll probably miss a game or two here and there. Because, if he's been a little bit more physical that week.
Yeah.
He may sit out that week.
Which this could be the week. I mean, you talked
No.
He's practicing, but I mean – this after this game, because
Derrick Henry, I can see them sitting him after this game.
Derrick Henry is, like you said, that's gonna be a test for everybody.
You're gonna see a lot of big nickel, if not just some straight 3-4. You might see some heavy nickel, just having a third linebacker in there, like with Phillips, and being in a 5-3.
Yeah, I can see it. Especially, I mean, it's Wednesday, so it was the first practice day of the week. But keeping an eye on this. Geno Stone didn't practice. They listed him as having a hamstring. He got through the game, but who knows? Yeah. So they're getting a little thin.
They really need to bring in some safeties. They need to bring in another safety.
Now they got the dude. He was here for a minute. They brought him in, and then I think they released him off the practice squad, and I think they brought him back. What's his name? Houston Carson.
Yeah. So
he's back. He played in one of the games when he was here. They brought him in and he played. And then I think they let him go because they had some of their other guys coming back, but he's back now. So, that's a possibility. But we'll see with Geno, whether he's able to practice this week and go in the game or not. But, just something to keep an eye on. I mean, like I said, I didn't want to go overboard with it because it was his first game back in a while. Talking about Marcus Williams, kind of just have to watch it and see. But just it was so noticeable that he was trying to figure it out, like how how's this gonna work, with my pec and with the way that arm feels. So we'll see what it's like against the Titans. Other than that, other guys, like I said, secondary continued to be pretty solid. I don't think they had a bad game. I think it gets magnified because you're looking at the numbers that Pickens put up and you look at that touchdown and you think, secondary. But they really didn't have a bad game.
No.
A couple plays here and there. Hamilton continuing to, be all over the place doing everything that he does. Humphrey was only going to get better, as long as he doesn't have any setbacks or anything, he's only going to get better. And they still got Darby and they still got Rocky Sin, like I said, who didn't even go in this game. So they still got that flexibility back there. So this could be interesting, man, going into this game with the Titans, because it's almost like a division game in a way. They play them almost like a division opponent, the way that they play each other, because they have seen each other last couple of years.
There's going to be – I couldn't have picked a better game to be in London. They've seen some – the Raiders, they've seen Jacksonville. They've seen some decent football. Nothing great, but, some okay football. This is going to show up and scare some people. this game's going to show up, and they're going to be like, they hit this hard? Yeah.
They see them heads bouncing off the turf. Like, we ain't seen that in the mother game.
He running over people like they're going to see some stuff they haven't seen. in London in any of these games before. This game, physicality wise, they're gonna walk away from this game like I'm gonna clutch my pearls and go back down to Liverpool and watch some real football, because this is too violent.
Because it gets escalated when they play. Because they both play that way anyway. It's the coaches, you know. That's a reflection of the coach. Vrabel was like that as he played. He coaches that way. Harbaugh, you know, that's been in his family. That's all they talk about.
Have they played since the infamous logo stomp?
I don't think so. I think that's the last time they played. So you got that, right? So you already got two teams that want to be physical. You got that.
Oh, my God.
You got the logo deal. So, you know, there's definitely – that's why I said it's almost like a division game in a way, because they have that kind of feeling about each other. Mm-hmm. Even though they're not in the division, they used to be. You go back, back in the day, you know.
Yeah. It was always something. I mean, this is like those old school Titans.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 13-10. That's the score. We don't know who's going to win, but it's going to be 13-10.
Yeah, it's the 2023 version, right? Back then, you had Ray against Eddie George. Now it's Roe against Derrick Henry. So it's just the 2023 version of it. And, yeah, both teams want to be physical. Both teams want to get after it. And yeah, like you said, I think Roquan even talked about that. He's like, hey, we want to show them real football. You know, they not seen this football yet. So yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be exciting.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
But look, we can get out of here on that if you want to. We ain't got nothing else to talk about. We're good.
I do want to touch on one thing before we go.
Okay, what's that?
Something needs to change on special teams.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We got to.
Something's got to. Whoa. They better than come to Jesus meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday or wherever they have their meeting. That these first 5 weeks.
It's been rough.
It's
been rough.
Very rough.
It was something I was concerned about coming into the season, because there's so many new guys and young guys playing this year.
Yeah.
So many new guys over there and younger guys. I mean, Phillips is an experienced guy, but when you think about the rest of the guys over there, Simpson is a rookie. Harrison's an experienced guy. But Gino, you know, he's an experienced guy, but he's kind of stepping into a different role, right? He's kind of into that co-cap role. Mm-hmm. Right, he didn't really have that. He was more of like the Robin to CoCap's Batman. Now he's trying to step into the Batman role. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you've got Moon, you've got all these young, you know, what Jabo was out there before he got hurt. So you just have all of these different young guys. Likely, who's a guy who didn't play a whole lot of special teams before. Kohler, he didn't go in this game, but he's been out there at different points. So they've got a bunch of young dudes in there.
You know who they're missing?
Who's that?
Who I never thought I'd say out loud. Wallace.
Oh yeah,
they're missing missing their gunner, a good gunner.
Tylan's legit gunner. He is a legit gunner out there. But even just having some of those guys in the protection who just, you know, just know what they're doing, they've seen a bunch of stuff, you know what I'm saying, they're not going to get caught off guard by anything. They're gonna be where they need to be. I think they're still trying to figure all that stuff out. And you're having to shuffle guys in and out each week because of the injuries.
Yep.
You know, with special teams, it's like a domino effect, right? If one guy goes out, well, now he's out on this team, on that team, on that team, on that team, and you got to replace him across three or four different teams if he was a guy that played on all of them. So,
I think the other part of that is they've had to bring in a lot of guys who just play defense. We're not special team guys. So you're losing the young guys are getting injured. So the old guys got to play more snaps, but then you don't have your top backup being a special team guy. You got the third, fourth team guy who's on the special teams, and it's just chaos.
Yeah, you take it for granted, right? Because you don't think about those guys because they're on special teams. You know, as fans, we don't tend to think about them. But think about a guy like Christian Welch, who was a core special team. He gone. Okay, you can say, all right, well, Phillips took his spot. Okay, yeah, to some extent that's true, but then who takes that guy's spot? Right, if Phillips takes Welch's spot, then who takes Phillips' spot? So that's Simpson a lot of the time, and he's new, You know, he's learning all of this stuff. I don't know how much he played on special teams at Clemson, but even if he did, it's yeah, I was gonna say, even if he did, it's different at this level.
Yeah.
And you know, Kayvon Seymour is a decent gunner. He's a solid gunner out there, but you know, Wallace was really good at it. Justice Hill, when he used to do it, he was very good at it.
Yeah.
But you know, they can't really afford to have him out there anymore.
He might get thrown, he might just get fired out there.
Yeah,
the way he's fumbling the football.
You gotta hold on.
Kayvon Mitchell's probably he's got one more shot.
Yeah, you gotta hold on to the rock.
That's two. That's two in what, 3 weeks?
Yeah,
he's put on the ground.
Look, and all of the nice, you know, the nice plays, that's all fine and well, right? Making guys miss, ripping off, you know, good runs. But if you keep putting the rock on the ground, that's not gonna work.
not for long in this league.
Nah, and Harbaugh, you know, he is historically had a pretty short leash for guys who fumble. Now, right now, it might be kind of out of necessity. They don't have a whole lot of backs. But like you said, with Mitchell coming back, they say, hey, man, hey, listen, you can't hold on to this rock. Got somebody else over here who can. So hey, you're right. He might find his way back there. Just circumstances might find his way back there. But yeah, they got to get it together on special teams. You're 100% right with that. They got to be better. They've not been this shaky in a number of years, but this is it. This is what people wanted. And to some extent, not that they wanted them to be shaky on special teams, but people always say, hey, they spend too many resources on special teams, right? They got these core special teams guys. They don't play defense. They don't play offense. All they do is play special teams. Okay, well, you've eliminated some of those guys, and now this is what you get. So you're going to have to bear with it, you know, as they try to figure it out with the guys that they got out there, because these are, by and large, you got 3 to 4 who I think are like core guys or have been core guys. Everybody else is like new to this thing. So you're going to have to bear with it. But anyway, you good after that? Special teams, that's it?
Yeah, I'm. I just need to get that off my chest, because that's unacceptable. That's okay. Going to get us beat.
The hard more, say it's more below, than it's below, it's below the line.
Yes, it's
below the line. And it kind of did contribute to the loss this week. I mean, that block punt for sure contributed to it. So
I would agree with that.
Hopefully they can turn it around, man. All right, hey, yeah, y'all know what to do. Share everywhere. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Like, subscribe. We don't do no overtime. We are out of here.